Part 3. A New Age Dawns. A physicist is the atom's way of thinking about atoms. Anonymous. 8. Einstein's Universe. As the 19th century drew to a close, scientists could reflect with satisfaction that they had pinned down most of the mysteries of the physical world. Electricity, magnetism, gases, optics, acoustics, kinetics, and statistical mechanics, to name just a few, all had fallen into order before them. They had discovered the X-ray, the cathode ray, the electron, and radioactivity, invented the ohm, the watt, the Kelvin, the joule, the amp, and the little erg. If a thing could be oscillated, accelerated, perturbed, distilled, combined, weighed, or made gaseous, they had done it, and in the process produced a body of universal laws so weighty and majestic that we still tend to write them out in capitals. The electromagnetic field theory of light, Richter's law of reciprocal proportions, Charles's law of gases, the law of combining volumes, the zeroth law, the valence concept, the laws of mass actions, and others beyond counting. The whole world clanged and chuffed with the machinery and instruments that their ingenuity had produced. Many wise people believed that there was nothing much left for science to do. In 1875, when a young German in Kiel named Max Planck was deciding whether to devote his life to mathematics or to physics, he was urged most heartily not to choose physics, because the breakthroughs had all been made there. The coming century, he was assured, would be one of consolidation and refinement, not revolution. Planck didn't listen. He studied theoretical physics and threw himself body and soul into work on entropy, a process at the heart of thermodynamics, which seemed to hold much promise for an ambitious young man. Specifically, it is a measure of randomness or disorder in a system. Darrell Ebbing, in the textbook General Chemistry, very usefully suggests thinking of a deck of cards, a new pack, fresh out of the box, arranged by suit and in sequence from ace to king, can be said to be in its ordered state. Shuffle the cards, and you put them in a disordered state. Entropy is a way of measuring just how disordered that state is, and of determining the likelihood of particular outcomes from further shuffles. Of course, if you wish to have any observations published in a respectable journal, you will need also to understand additional concepts, such as thermal non-uniformities, lattice distances, and stoichiometric relationships. But that's the general idea. In 1891, Planck produced his results, and learned to his dismay that the important work on entropy had, in fact, been done already, in this instance by a retiring scholar at Yale University named J. Willard Gibbs. Gibbs is perhaps the most brilliant person that most people have never heard of. Modest to the point of near invisibility, he passed virtually the whole of his life, apart from 3 years spent studying in Europe, within a three-block area bounded by his house and the Yale campus in New Haven, Connecticut. For his first 10 years at Yale, he didn't even bother to draw a salary. He had independent means. From 1871, when he joined the university as a professor, to his death in 1903, his courses attracted an average of slightly over one student a semester. His written work was difficult to follow, and employed a private form of notation that many found incomprehensible. But buried among his arcane formulations were insights of the loftiest brilliance.